We are talking today with Sheila McCauley-Keyes, the author of the book Our Auntie Rosa. And the Rosa they are speaking of in the book is Rosa Parks, who we know from her brave act on the Alabama bus back in 1955, one of the starting of the civil rights movement. But Sheila knows Rosa for being her auntie. Sheila, when did you sort of first become aware of who your auntie was in sort of the historical sense?
I believe I was in about the fourth grade when I saw a picture of her in a history book. And I went and I started yelling or telling the other kids, "That's my Auntie Rosa." And they laughed at me. So I was like, "Oh my goodness." I run home and I want to ask my parents, and they say, "Yes, that is your Auntie Rosa." Because I said, "Well, I didn't know that." And that's all they said, "That yes, that is your Auntie Rosa." They never said anything else about it. So I said, "Okay." But the other kids, they were the ones that didn't believe me when I said, "That's my aunt." And they were like, "No." Children can be mean.
And you grew up in Detroit, and this is the time where your aunt had moved from Alabama to Detroit. What brought her up to be with you?
Well, there were, after the incident on the bus in 1955, I believe she was fired from her job. She had no work, and the family were getting quite a few death threats. There was the Klan, and there were other outside people that were threatening my uncle, my grandmother, my aunt. So eventually, they stayed there for 2 years, so they didn't come up to Detroit to 57. Eventually, it was just too much for them to handle. And with my aunt not able to find work, and my uncle, they came up. My uncle was a barber, so he found work here in Detroit, and so did my aunt.
And
they came up.
And you are one of 13 children. Do I have that correct?
Yes.
So she sort of had a lot of nieces and nephews then to share her time with. Tell me a little bit about some of the things that are in this book related to how your family shares the different memories. What are some, obviously every child probably has a different memory, but what are some of those that you've shared with us?
My own personal memories that I'm sharing is when my aunt came to New Jersey after I had my son. And this is after my mother had died in 1981. My aunt came to visit me after I had my son. She stayed with me for a week, and I thought that this was the most beautiful thing that anyone could do for me. And this, at this time, because she was doing these things for all of us, at the same time, she would do one thing for me, and then she would go to the next person. And this is the dynamic of my family, is that I have my siblings that are 10, 12 years older than me. Then I have contemporaries, my siblings that are 2 or 3 years older. And then there's a younger set. So there were sets of children that weren't in the house. She wasn't running from home to home when there were just 13 of us all, around. It was a little dynamic going on there with the age differences. So when she was there in New Jersey with me, like I was maybe 24 when I had my son. So she stayed with me for a week, and I just thought that was the most beautiful thing.
She did spend time with all different types of, probably graduations or births or weddings like that. So,
yes.
she shared all that with her. Now, she never had any children of her own. Is that correct? Or
no, she did not.
So
she did not have any children.
So all of her love then went on to her nieces and nephews.
Yes, we became her surrogates, and we, I guess it was enough of us. There was enough work for her.
Right.
She took care of all of us.
In between that time,
even, she,
Well, and between that time also, she still has sort of her, I guess, her public persona, where, you know, she'd be maybe going to the White House, or there might be times where people would want to know her from a historical context. How was she able to sort of balance the two personas?
Yes, because she was still traveling and doing speaking engagements all at the same time. I think she wore so many hats. She would go out to her speaking engagements. When she'd come back, she would call one of us, let us know that she was back in town. So we would all spread the word. We know that she was back. But she was amazing. And I think that she started doing yoga. That helped her. She became a vegetarian, where she mainly would eat chicken or fish, and she did eat vegetables. But I don't think she was a complete vegetarian. But she started eating better, doing the yoga, and that helped her to continue to go out on these speaking engagements, because she was in her 70s, and she was still flying around the country speaking.
You talked about food. You included some recipes in here. You sometimes don't know a person more up until you see what kind of recipes they would fix for their family. Why did you decide to do that?
Yeah, those recipes were just some of our memories of the food and the smells that used to come out of the kitchen. It was Southern cooking. It was the cornbread. It was, well, she would make squash. I think we used the succotash recipe and the fruit compote and the chicken and dumplings, which was something when my grandmother and my aunt moved from Alabama. On Sunday dinners, they started that tradition where they would cook the chicken and dumplings at my parents' home. And then when they moved out to their own home, they would still on Sundays make the chicken and dumplings. So that was one of the favorite dishes that they would cook. But I like the silver dollar cornbread. Mm. Griddle cakes were the best to me. Wow. Because I could put apple butter on those, and they were great.
So she spent some time in the kitchen, obviously.
Yes, they both did, my grandmother and my aunt.
We're talking today with Sheila McCauley Keyes. The book is Our Auntie Rosa. The family of Rosa Parks remembers her life and lessons. What are some of the lessons that you maybe got from her, or maybe you've picked up as you've aged and maybe looked back at some of the times you spent with her?
Well, I think I have two, but one of my favorite lessons is the Golden Rule, and that is a lesson that she tried to instill in all of us, and that is to always treat others the way you wanted to be treated. That's something that my grandmother taught my auntie and my father, and to always treat your fellow man the way you want to be treated. And the other one was to, if you want to change something, you know, work on yourself first, and the change will come. You're responsible for your own actions. That was something my aunt would say to me, that she's not responsible for what anybody else does, only what she does. And that's how, if you want to make changes, you start with yourself, and the change will come. So I did like those two are my favorites.
She didn't talk too much about the incident from 1955, did she? As far as within the family.
No, she didn't.
But
no, she didn't. If she would go over that, I think in the book she went over with my sister Shirley, because she was in her mid to late 20s when she finally asked Auntie Rosa, What would make you do something like that? And my sister asked her, what would make you do something like that in a place where you could have been hung, you could have been murdered? What made you have the strength to do that? And she just told her that she was tired of that system. She had witnessed all of this since she was a small child. And it was the law, the Jim Crow law, was just ridiculous. And what happened on the bus that day, that it wasn't a full bus, or it wasn't a lot of people. And it was the Jim Crow law was where there had to be a space between the, as they call the colored section and the white section. My aunt was sitting in the colored section, not the white section. But a white passenger got on the bus, and the bus driver came back to her and said, "You have to move," because there wasn't a space and between her and the white passenger. And my aunt said no. And that was the end of that. She just said no because she was tired of being bullied by that system.
She also
lived through it.
Yeah, she shared the part there when, I guess, for that time, the black person would get on the bus, and then they would pay, and then they'd have to get off the bus and get on the back, and sometimes the bus driver would take off, and she had been through that as well. So there was a little bit of that taunting that was going on, and this is kind of the point where she decided, you know, I've had enough, and it kind of turned into this. Obviously, when someone does it, they're not doing it for a larger scale attention. It's only for their own well-being at the time, but it turned into that. People can read out more about the stories of your aunt. It's Auntie Rosa, the name of the book, Our Auntie Rosa. Our guest today, Sheila McCauley Keyes, the niece of Rosa Parks. Thanks for sharing the stories with us. Appreciate that.
And you're welcome.
Thanks.